Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Farm Focus. I'm Jim Finn. Later on in the programme, I will be talking to Michael Ryan from Dairy Master, and he will be telling us all about the draft flow system. My first guest this morning is new to Chagas in County Clare. He's only after taking up the job. He's Neely O'Sullivan, and he is a dairy advisor here in County Clare. Good morning, Neely, and first of all, may I welcome you to Clare and also welcome you to Farm Focus on Clare FM.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
I love that Kerry accent, by the way. Are you going to win the All-Ireland down in Kerry this year?
Hopefully not this year, Jim, yeah. Hopefully,
we'll
give it a good go.
Wouldn't somebody want to knock those dubs off their pedestal, wouldn't they? Anyway, I suppose we better start talking farming and agriculture. Okay, I suppose there are a couple of things that you want to talk to me about this morning, Neely. Firstly, to start off, you have a reminder for farmers in derogation with regard to the 170 kgs of nitrogen for new, it's a new rule regarding protein levels in concentrates.
That's correct, Jim. Yeah, so look, what that is there, look, it's just a tiny reminder really for derogation farmers and maybe those farming over the 170 kilos of nitrogen per hectare that are exporting slurry, just in relation to the level of crude protein percentage that they're allowed in the ration. Okay, now look, this is a new rule, and that rule has come in now that from the time period of from the 1st of April to the 16th of September, the highest level of protein that can be put into concentrate for animals over 2 years of age is a maximum of 15%. So just for farmers in the locality, just to be mindful of that. So look, that's in relation to maybe animals that are maybe cows, cattle, anything over 2 years. Young stock such as heifers, our young heifers and calves can be fed higher amounts, and generally look, that's just recommended from the point of view of growing the frame of the animal, but just to take that into consideration from the point of view of any animal over 2 years for farmers farming in derogation or who are over the 170 kilos of nitrogen per hectare, that the maximum amount of crude protein to be fed for animals over 2 years is 15%.
Lime is becoming compulsory, and it's a compulsory to spread lime again if you're in that particular farming bracket.
Yeah, yes, Jim, you're quite correct there. And I suppose, look, again, it's in relation to that cohort of farmers who are farming in derogation or farming over the 170 kilos of nitrogen per hectare. Lime is a compulsory requirement of that as well. So, look, I suppose just to maybe touch on maybe paddock availability, if you have 10 acres kind of grazed together, it would be quite possible there to put out a lorry load of lime on those 10 acres just after grazing at 2 tonnes to the acre. Look, not from now on is an ideal time to maybe put a bit of preparation in to put out lime. I suppose, look, traditionally, maybe farmers would have waited until the back end of the year. And I suppose, look, that brings its own challenges from the point of view of maybe weather or ground trafficability, depending on what kind of soils you're farming on. And I suppose, look, it's maybe an opportunity that's wasted. But from now on, I mean, in terms of paddock availability, 10 acres together there would you could easily put out a lorry load of lime from now on, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Now, moving on then, the breeding season is upon us, Neely. We're only a couple of weeks at most away from the start of the season. And, of course, planning is very important.
It is, Jimmy. Yeah, you're quite correct. Look, I suppose the year doesn't belong moving around again. And look, it only felt like a minute ago Christmas was here. But look, we're in the middle of April now at the moment. And I suppose, look, the breeding season traditionally would be starting around from the 1st of May onwards, or within the first week in May. So, look, it's only around the corner. I suppose, look, it's very important maybe just to spend an hour, to sit down and spend an hour to maybe do a bit of homework in terms of maybe looking at putting a good emphasis on maybe bull selection and maybe looking at breeding breeding more profitable cows into the herd, you know. I suppose, look, if just to give the listeners an idea, in terms of the cost of keeping the cow. So look, if we take it down in terms of kilos of milk solids, okay.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it takes about 250 kilos of milk solids to be sold in order for the cow to pay for herself. The first 250 kilos of milk solids per cow sold, is actually going back to pay for herself. So look, the data would traditionally have shown us there from Profit Monitor hers that the cost to keep your cow is ranging from roughly €1,000 to €1,100. So that equates to about 250 kilos in milk solids per cow. So look, as I say, look, I suppose the more we can produce in terms of milk solids, it's potentially the more revenue that we can bring in to the farm gate, you know. So sitting down and maybe making a plan in terms of what cows to breed from, and maybe putting the best team of sires available that can be got to try and improve that overall performance is probably the cornerstone of that, Jim, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, taking into consideration there nearly what you said, what should a farmer be looking at then when he is making his cow selection?
I suppose, look, farmers have an awful lot of data available to them. And I suppose the first thing maybe I direct them to maybe take a look at first is maybe look at the milk recording reports, you know. Straight away, that it's historical data in terms of looking at the cow's actual performance. So we'll just say for argument's sake that if her cows was producing on average last year 3.45% protein,
yeah,
and maybe butter fat at about 4%, I suppose, look, ideally, you should be picking cows that are doing maybe more than that and try and breed from them. By doing this, what you'll actually do is you will actually really drive for the percentages and along with production, and you will get more bang for your buck in terms of that, you know. So look, the milk recording reports there would be a great place to start.
Right.
And straight away, look, it rules out maybe the more problematic cows. We say the ladies with maybe cell count issues,
yeah,
maybe poor feet or others. And look, it just sets the scene really for in terms of putting the actual potential cows together to breed from, you know.
Right.
The second piece of the jigsaw then, Jim, is selecting sires. And I suppose, look, this is very important. As look, there's a lot of them out there at this stage. There's nearly a bull for everyone in the audience at this stage, you know. So look, in terms of bearing this in mind, the question I get asked from farmers is, how many heifers do I need? Okay. Mm-hmm. So look, if we take, for example, Jim, maybe 100 cows, 100 cow herd, and I suppose that typically speaking, the farmer would like to have maybe 20 to 25% replacement rate,
yeah,
for, we'll say, and a herd that's kind of static and not growing, you know. So that would mean that farmer would need 25 heifers to be got in order to maintain the current cow numbers and herd size, okay? So look, a rough rule of thumb, just for listeners out there, is that you need roughly 5 straws to get a heifer on the ground. So that would mean, Jim, really that, like, so if you're looking to get 25 heifers out of 100 cows, you're looking at maybe using about 125 straws. And I suppose, look, from talking to my own clients there, like, they would have said that maybe I'm not getting enough replacements. And I suppose the debate I'd have with them is, are you using enough straws? Nice. So look, remember that 5 straw rule, and look, you won't go too far wrong, I suppose, okay?
Right.
In terms of maybe using the straws in it, in terms of maybe putting a team of bulls together, it's important to put the best, the strongest team you can out there. So look, you mentioned earlier there, Jim, about GAA. So look, be it Clare hurling or Kerry football, on the All-Ireland final day, I suppose, look, the best team is fielded on the day. And then look, the breeding season and getting prepared for it is no different. Okay. I suppose really what we'd be advising, Jim, is using a team of bulls and to use enough bulls within the breeding season. So you're kind of looking at maybe the target there of maybe 7 to 10 bulls. Okay. So,
yeah.
And that's kind of depending on, we'd say, herd sizes. So we'll say up to 60 cows, you kind of get away with about 7 bulls. As you increase, then maybe you're looking at 80 to herd size of 80 to 100 cows, you're probably looking at about 10 bulls. And from 100 cows plus up, you're nearly looking at about 12 bulls up, 12 bulls plus, you know. So these should be used equally within the herd. And I suppose the idea of using a team of bulls, Jim, is that you spread risk. Is that there is no one reliance on any or no over reliance, excuse me, on any one bull. So look, what could happen is some bulls could over time could fall in EBI, and I suppose,
yeah,
look, this has an adverse effect of bringing down their daughters on the back of this. So hence the reason why I'm saying spread the risk, you know.
Okay.
I suppose in terms of criteria for bulls, Jim, then in terms of EBI, I suppose, look, we'd be advising to maybe pick bull teams with an EBI of 270 upwards.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the fertility sub-index of €120. And look, this leads back into the longevity of the cow. So look, this is quite important. So typically speaking, okay, it takes about 1.7 lactations nearly two for the cow to start paying herself, so paying for herself. So as a calf on the ground to growing into a heifer to until she comes into the herd. So look, it would be a fight to God altogether, Jim, if cows were to be culled just after two lactations, they would have barely paid for themselves, you know. So look, it's important to maybe to focus on fertility, because the longer the cow stays in the herd for you, like, it really does drive extra milk solids and production, you know.
Okay, look, that's absolutely great, and I do know you finally you want to put out a plea with regard to the BPS scheme, which is, I suppose, upon us as well. It's a bit like the breeding season.
Yeah, I suppose, Jim, look, as I said earlier, look, time don't belong going around, you know, and look, we're into the middle of April now. I just want to remind listeners that the deadline for the basic payment scheme is the 17th of May this year. And I would just like to maybe remind farmers that to maybe make contact with their own advisor or ring the local Chagas office to make an appointment to complete their basic payments form as well also.
Okay, well, look at Neely, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That listener was Neely O'Sullivan, who is a new recruit to the Chagas team in the county. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Michael Ryan, and Michael is with Dairy Master, and he's with me to talk about a new product that they have called Draft Now. Good morning, Michael, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, now, Michael, before we went on air, I was trying to find out a bit about Draft. So now, I believe this Draft Now is an add-on to your draft system. So will you explain to my listeners what the draft system is first and then what Draft Now does?
I will, yeah, no problem. So basically what the drafting system is when cows come out of the milking parlour, they go through the drafting crate, and this system is able to segregate them left or right. So basically if the farmer wants to put his cows into different pens or different groups, by walking them through this crate, it'll automatically segregate them out. But that's what we mean when we say to draft a cow.
Right. When he's separating them out, I presume that these cows have some sort of an electronic tag so that the machine knows what way they are to go. Is that correct?
That's correct. All of the tags that use this system would have to have an electronic tag in their ear.
Yeah.
So electronic tags, they've been around for quite some time. I know there's mightn't be massive uptake until recent years, but they've actually been around since about 1992. And as I said, you know, a lot of the new systems that are gone in now would always link back to auto ID. So whether that's calf feeding or whether it is in parallel identification, a lot of cows now are coming with the electronic tag already fitted.
Right, that's the same electronic tag that controls the amount of concentrates an animal may get when she's in the parlour.
That's correct. It's the same system. Yeah.
So that tag, once it's in the ear, is good to go with the Draft Now system as well.
That's correct. Yeah.
Draft Now then is a new addition. What does that do?
So basically, it takes this existing crate and it links up to a live cloud system, and then back down to the farmer's app on his mobile phone. So he can be out in the field, or he can be inside having a breakfast, and he can decide, oh, maybe I want to pull out this cow or pull out maybe two or three cows that morning after milking. So he's able to set these numbers into his phone, and it'll automatically pull those cows out for him. So it just makes it a lot less stress for the farmer that he can do these things without actually having to get up out of the pit and go and start moving gates and trying to segregate the animals manually. And obviously it's a lot less stress for the cow as well, because she's just walking through the crate nice and easy, and then she just diverts left or right, as opposed to having to be kind of segregated manually.
Now, of course, where this really comes into play, the really early calving cows would be going to the bull in the next couple of weeks. It's very useful if an animal is in heat and you need to segregate the animal out so that they go to the pen, so that the inseminator or the farmer himself, if he's the inseminator or she's the inseminator.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we're just coming up to the breeding season now. A lot of guys will be starting their pre-breeding. And this system will be ideal for those farmers. So they can manually just enter the numbers into the phone and it'll pull the cows out. Or if they have the moo monitor system, the two systems are actually linked together. So what that'll actually do is it'll identify the cows that are in heat, and it'll automatically draft those cows out each morning or each evening. that's really taken all the labour out of it. It's like an extra pair of hands on the farm to do the heat detection and to do desegregation of animals. And we even have some instances, Jim, where the inseminator would have the app on his phone, and he can actually check each farm to see, you know, is there cows on this farm that need to be bred today? And he can come then and he knows the cows and they're already pulled out. So it's really, you know, it's really been trying to manage the whole system of breeding a lot more efficiently for the farmer.
So it's equally, of course, useful then at the back end of a season when you're beginning to dry off cows. You can again use the drafting system to say, well, those five cows are being let off this morning.
Yeah, so a lot of farmers obviously come into the back end. They'll be watching they'll be watching how long the cows are gone in calf. And so they can actually see that on the app on the phone. They can see how long they're gone in calf. And then they can select on a particular day, maybe once a week, they can select a bunch of cows that they want pulled out. So I spoke to one farmer not so long ago, and he said that he actually wouldn't even attempt to dry off his cows without having the drafting system in place. It just took so much of the labour out for him. And I said he wouldn't even attempt to do it without it. So once guys get used to the system, whether it's for breeding or whether it's for drying off, or, you know, whether it's just to pull one or two cows out on any given reason, it could be lame cows, it could be cows that need hoof pairing. Once they get used to using the system, you know, it really becomes an essential part of their, you know, of their tools on the farm for managing and sorting the herd.
Right. Now, I suppose, mate, this could be a stupid question to ask, Michael, but, you know, not everybody has a dairy master parlour and a dairy master set up. Can the draft system be set up for any other type of parlour?
It can. It's a standalone system, so right. It doesn't need to go into a dairy master parlour. And even if it is a dairy master parlour, it doesn't need to necessarily have all the bells and whistles. It can just be your very basic parlour. So this whole system is designed that it can stand alone. Once you have the electronic ear tags in the cow's ears and you have the draft and crate, you can use this system. That's basically all you need.
Is there any other new development, and there always seems to be something down there in Causeway that's coming on the stream, or is there anything that you have upgraded? Because I'd say I haven't spoken to anybody from Dairy Master since the last time we were at an actual ploughing championship.
I suppose at the moment, I suppose we are still working on our new herd management system.
Yeah.
But there's not too many details released of that yet. But that's a continuation on from the mission control that we probably launched at the ploughing. That was back in 2019.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the key things that we're still working on at the moment. But that's going to be a big overall package for herd management, you know. Probably targeted at the rotary parlours first, you know.
Right,
at the bigger system. But again, we're trying to link all these systems back into the cloud system so that guys want to have access to that on their phone, you know.
I do, yeah.
And another system as well, Jim, would say with the draft now and with the Moo Monitor, we have the links to ICBF in place now. So it really helps to streamline the whole lot, because farmers want to get on with farming. They don't want to be inputting data into two systems, or even into one system at times. It can be hard to get them to do it. So now with the ICBF system links, whether it's the inseminator that puts the information into his app and that goes up to ICBF and comes back down to ours, or whether it's the farmer that puts it into his, everything gets synced up live now. So it just takes out an awful lot of the paperwork out of the system, having the cloud systems and having them properly integrated.
There's a fair bit of, I suppose, competition in the market for these apps and, you know, modern technology and things going to the cloud, coming back down. So is it difficult for dairy masters to stay ahead of the posse?
Because we're lucky enough in that we put the investment in early on. Yeah. That we have our own web developers and we have our own app developers. So we're not reliant on third parties to do this work for us. And what keeps us probably ahead, Jim, is that we're actually able to hone in on what the farmer actually wants. So we can take very quick feedback from how a system is being used and make the changes to make that a bit more user-friendly for the farmer. So even for the apps, we would have test versions that we would give out to certain farmers. I've even got a farmer in Tipperary that I give the app to nearly straight away, and yeah, he'll test it on his setup. And he'll come back and he'll tell me if there's something that he's not quite happy with, or if there's something that he wants. So it kind of helps us to stay a little bit ahead, the fact that we're so in tune with what the farmers actually want, and the fact that we can make those changes internally. We're not reliant on third parties to do all that, you know, to do all that development work.
How have sales of milking parlours, whether they're rotary or whether they're traditional herringbone, going for you at the moment, at home and abroad, where, of course, you have a very big export market?
Yeah, no, business is very good, Jim.
Good.
Right across the board, business is very good. The Irish sales guys are lucky enough that they're still able to stay on the road. But the international market has all gone to, it's all gone to Teams and it's gone to Zoom calls. And it's a new way to do business, but it is very successful. There's still a huge uptake in parlours at the moment in both the Irish market and the international market, you know, and the biggest thing is to try to get them produced on time at the moment. But I would say, you know, so far, so good. We've been lucky. I suppose the farming whole sector hasn't been hit as hard as other sectors with the COVID, you know. Farmers are being able to continue on and businesses is continuing at the moment.
And you have been able to continue on manufacturing.
Yes, we've been lucky enough that we did have to close down the floor for a short period of time, but we managed to get everything in place, you know, and managed to drive on. So touch wood, we've been very lucky down here. Probably we're just lucky that we're in this quadrant of the country.
Yeah,
that, you know, we're not. If you were somewhere in the bigger city or something, it might be a bit harder to keep going. But so we're just quite lucky that the case numbers are low here. And it's that everything is in place. So we've been very lucky that way. We've been able to keep producing and we've been able to keep working away.
Finally, before I let you go, Michael, anybody listening to us this morning and said that's something that might be very useful on my dairy farm, how do they make contact with you? Go to the website or make a telephone call or what?
Yeah, so they can contact the local. Most of the farmers would know the local dairy master representative, but they can also contact the headquarters here in Kerry and somebody will be sure to come back to them.
Okay, well, look at Michael. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was Michael Ryan from a Dairy Master talking about the Draft Now addition to their drafting system. That, listeners, is Farm Focus for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock. And after that, Mike Gardner presents Country Corner.